Let's turn our attention now to our reading for this morning, Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. Hear the word of God. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year, they met with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christian. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine over all the world, and this took place during the reign of Claudius. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All of us, whether we intend it or not, are known for something. Some are known around the world for who they are and what they've done, for decisions or actions that change the course of history. Others might be known only among a small group or group of family or friends for acts of kindness, words of insight, or for simple service. Whether for better or worse, on a greater or smaller scale, all of us are known for either what we believe, the people we associate with, or the actions that we've taken over time. When I read our passage for this morning, the second half of verse 26 jumped out at me. It reads, "It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians." I'm sure that designation of Christian was uttered in other settings prior to that moment. But there was something about what happened in Antioch, something about how the gospel was proclaimed and received there that changed how people perceived and thought of Jesus' followers and their mission in life, how they were known to the world. From that period on, those who follow Jesus in a multitude of ways have been known and remembered by this name, Christian. And today I want us to consider, if just for a moment, what that means and how it is that we are called to live into that name. Let us pray. Living Lord, we are known by a name we do not always fully understand and often fail to live up to. We come today with sincere desire to live as Christians. But in order to do that, we must know Jesus, our Christ, more fully and more truly. So draw us closer, we pray, to the one who gives us our name. Amen. (Clears You may know that the book of Acts has an overarching narrative that flows from Peter's early apostolic ministry following Jesus' ascension to Peter's ministries and mission to the other nations. And you may also remember that this was a time in the church's early history when a lot of questions were being raised about how non-Jews could be incorporated into the Jewish community, which was now called the Jesus Movement. And you may remember a man in Acts by the name of Stephen who got into trouble because of his prophetic preaching and his challenges to critics. Stephen suffered and was eventually stoned to death because of his convictions. Stephen's persecution sent many believers like him fleeing from Jerusalem and from other communities where they are at risk of similar persecutions. And some of those made their way to Antioch, north of Jerusalem, including two unnamed individuals from Cyprus and Cyrene, we are told in verse 20, who shared the news about Jesus with both Jews and Gentiles in that city. And turns out God really blessed their proclamation. Verse 21 says, a great number of believers were brought in. A great many people were turned to the Lord in Antioch. Word got back to the church in Jerusalem that the Spirit was lighting another fire in Antioch, creating this curious new mix of Jewish and non-Jewish believers. And so in their wisdom, they sent Brother Barnabas to make sure things weren't getting out of hand. But Barnabas, noting how successful this mission had been in drawing in new believers, quickly declared, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it," or something like that. And then he immediately sent for Saul, who also traveled to Antioch, and with Barnabas spent a whole year leading these new believers in their devotions to the apostles' teachings and way of life. In my mind, this is one of those moments in Scripture when God signifies a new way of doing things that is consistent with his character throughout time. He broadens the circle of his followers to include the Gentiles, not through a rejection of the covenants he's made in the past with Israel, but through the life and ministry of his Son, through whom all people can be reconciled to their Father in heaven. It's not a rejection of tradition, but a reformation of tradition orchestrated by God's own authority. I think that's why this moment is so important and this name or title Christian is so significant. It's a name that harkens back to moments such as this when the Jesus movement went international and broke through boundaries that some had attempted to frame around it. Now it's a name that applies to all who follow Jesus, the Christ, all around the world. At the heart of the name Christian is that sense of the forward and widening movement of God into the world and the realization that no national border or difference in ethnic or cultural background can get in God's way of reaching people through his Son. For me, it's this widening of the circle of followers through any conventional or cultural boundary that's at the core of the Christian identity. In my mind, to be known as Christian means that we shall be known as a people who are continually widening the circle of Jesus' followers and continually widening the circle of those whom we serve and minister to in his name. This morning I want to tell you about an experience from our NPC mission trip to South Africa that I just returned from early this past week. If a pastor goes on a mission trip, you can bet you're going to hear about it next Sunday. Our mission team members also have a lot of photos and stories to share from the trip after next week's second service. But until that time of sharing, I want to share just one thing about a sermon that we heard at the Change Bible Church in the township of Johannesburg two Sundays ago. Our team was blessed to sit in the front of a congregation of approximately 900 South Africans, led by a man by the name of Pastor Jones Ola Nzo, a very talented preacher. After the service, Pastor Nzo asked me how long Presbyterian sermons usually go. And when I told him 15 to 20 minutes, his jaw dropped to the floor. After 20 minutes of his preaching that morning, we were all just starting to get warmed up, wanted to hear a lot more. Toward the end of his very effective sermon, which was delivered in a combination of English and other tribal languages common to the area, he asked a man to step forward in front of the church. The man appeared to be in his late 30s, thin, in his best Sunday clothes, and looking self-conscious at having so much attention drawn to himself. I'll come back to this man, but before I do, I need to explain some background. If you've been following the news for the past few weeks, you'll know that during the time when our team was in South Africa, there was a great deal of violence against foreigners. Not against Americans such as ourselves, but mostly against Zimbabweans, over 2 million of whom have crossed the border to flee violence, political trouble, and hunger in neighboring Zimbabwe. South Africa prides itself on its new identity as a welcoming, inclusive nation. But sadly, there is still much poverty in many communities of the country where jobs and resources are scarce. Some criminal elements in those poor communities have incited xenophobia, and over the past few weeks killed over 56 non-South Africans and have raped and maimed and beaten countless others. Some of those killed were doused in fuel and set on fire to burn alive. This has been an extremely upsetting time for South Africans who are profoundly sad to see such atrocities going on in their nation, which is working so hard to move forward from a dark past. Back now to two Sundays ago in church. In front of 900 South Africans, the pastor put his arm around this man he had called forward and told them all, "This man is from Zimbabwe." Just as all of this violence was flaring up in the communities around the church, this pastor proclaimed in this moment with absolute conviction to the congregation, "This is my brother. This is my brother." The topic of the sermon was pastoral care, by which he meant the kind of care members of the church are called to share with one another. "Who am I," asked the preacher, "if I call myself a Christian, but do not stand with my brother, if I do not care for my family?" We were seated in the front row of the church, not 10 feet from the man, and so I could sense the hesitation and even fear in this man's eyes as he stood anticipating the crowd's response to the pastor's words. But when cheers and applause came forth, you could feel the Spirit's presence in the room. The glory of the Lord had been revealed. And in that moment, I heard a woman in the row behind me yell out, "He is my brother." This morning, I could offer you an academic definition of what it means to be known as Christian. But perhaps this one experience I've just described gets at the meaning better than anything we might publish in a paper or a book. Because God, I believe, would much rather have us publish that definition of what it means to be Christian in how we live our lives. Amen. Each of us are given opportunities every day to be known as Christian, to minister in the name of Jesus in ways which are consistent with God's character of action throughout history. When we study the book of Acts, the chronicles of the early church, we notice time and time again the pattern where conversion and welcoming in of one or more into the body is a moment when the whole identity of the church is changed, transformed into something new. In the welcoming in of even one, the whole of the faith community is changed for God's good and for His eternal purposes. So if you and I want to be known as Christian, we'll have to welcome others into His body one by one, saying, "You are my brother. You are my sister." As we extend ourselves by faith in Christ, God extends the reach of His family so that in the end, every knee should bend and every tongue should profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, "I pray that according to the riches of His glory, we may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Holy Spirit." Truly, the inner strength of one Christian taken into action can be the source of transformation for many. This is not by coercion or will, but by the power of the Spirit at work through the inner convictions that guide our actions toward others and draw us together into one family of faith. A family known as Jesus' people. A family known as Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.